Is Canada prepared for a future without the U.S., with Trump kidnapping foreign leaders, pillaging their resources, pulling out of international groups, killing protesters, setting sites on Colombia and Greenland, and maybe us? Should Canada be worried, like more worried than we are already? What can we do here in Canada? What can we here in Canada do? Is Canada prepared for a future without the U.S.?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Canadian and global politics unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to Politics is Broken. Oh, it's a year and it's new. Is it happy? We'll see. That remains to be seen. Welcome to Politics is Broken. My name is Brittle Starr.
My name is Lisa, and again, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, it's been, exactly.
It's been a long year so far.
Is 2026, like, just not, aside from everything that's going on in the world and everything that's falling apart, is 2026, is one of those years where you think about the year in numbers and go, wow, I'm in the future?
Yeah. Like,
yeah?
2026, you know, I think back to, like, different events in life and, like, when they happened, and it's like, wow, that was 20 some years ago, right? Like, I don't like having to say that, but I think, yeah, we are in the future.
That's the freaky part for me, is that things that are 20 years ago, we're still in the 2000s.
Right? It's like, I know.
Make any sense at all?
Again, you have to pull out your fingers and go, what?
I think back to the times, like when I was a teenager in the 80s, and I think about 20 years prior to that was like, well, that was like 1964. Come on, man. That's like ancient history. And now it's like, oh no, 20 years ago was 2006.
It's insanity. I know. Yet we have stayed the same age, so I don't know how that happens.
I don't know how that works. We look amazing. If you're listening, just trust us. If you're watching this on YouTube, squint your eyes.
Back away from the laptop.
Download the video and apply a generous face filter on CapCut. It's one of those years. It's a little bit of a future year for me. I remember the first time that happened was in 1979, turning to 1980. And I remember staying up. My parents had a party for New Year's Eve, and we stayed up. We watched Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve on the television.
Of course. Yeah.
And the Village People, which who would have thought all these years later, the Village People would be so pop culturally relevant.
Topical,
again.
Yeah.
Topical. They sang an original song for the evening called Rockin' Into the 80s.
It had this,
and the same kind of marchy sort of, you know, stompy kind of beat as YMCA and Macho Man and all that kind of stuff, but not one of their bigger hits. Yeah, but definitely in
their style. I don't recall seeing it on any playlist anywhere.
It was something else, but I remember being at the time thinking, wow, the 1980s, we're living in the future. So cool. That's kind of, I don't feel that much about this 2026, but I feel close to that, though.
Yeah.
I feel like, wow, it's quite
sentimental.
It's not even sentiment. It's more of like, whoa, who would have thought it lasted this long?
Right? You start counting in, like, versus how old you are and how many years left you have. Right?
Yes.
Like, terrifying.
TikTok.
At this point, I'm like, take me out. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so it's a brand new year. We'll see if it's a happy new year. Hopefully it will be a happy new year in the end. But it's certainly starting out fairly auspiciously. Lots of stuff's happened since we last chatted prior to the Christmas holidays. In that time, Trump kidnapped the president of Venezuela, Maduro, who by all accounts is a bit of a dick.
Yeah, not a good guy. Like, nobody's saying, oh, what a sad thing. He was so innocent and appropriate to his people. But you still don't get to go into a country and snatch somebody.
This is the weird thing. So our first little question is going to be, is the rule of law optional now? Because I think that's the thing that stands out the most about what's happening in America. And we'll, for those of you listening and watching, we're going to tie this back to how it relates to Canada and us as Canadians and what the impact is and what it means for us. Mm-hmm. But to start off, you know, is the rule of law optional now? And I think back to Trump's first term, and one of the things that drove me insane at the time was thinking, there seems to be, I've heard a lot of talk about checks and balances. There don't seem to be any checks and balances anywhere. Anyone seen any checks or balances anywhere? And there just really wasn't any. It was like, oh, there's no accountability anymore. Like, this has gone crazy. And then, of course, you got back into office. And I think with things like, you know, kidnapping a foreign leader, just literally going in for no other reason except to take their oil under the very, very flimsy false pretense of drug trafficking.
Right, yeah.
At least in my mind and in the mind of most people who have been hit on the head with a plank of wood.
Who's synapse, yes.
Yeah. synapse. it seems like there's no rule of law anymore. It's like there's no accountability, and I don't get it. Like, how is this happening?
Well, when you said, you know, you remember way back to his first term, so much has happened since then. Like, it's like you really have to get the hamster going in the wheel to remember all the stuff. And we thought it was bad then, right? Like, we thought, oh, yeah, my God, the things that he's wanting to do and the things that he did do. It's just now seems pretty innocuous compared to the things that are going on, right? Like, it's like a part two, but like, again, now it's not just within their own walls that they're trying to do things.
Yeah.
Now they're going outside into the neighborhoods, and we don't like that. We don't stay in your home.
Well, I think it's a real life example of give them an inch and they'll take a mile. I think it's that idea of no. I think I honestly feel that Trump in his spray paint golden lair is sat there after his first term and went, wow, I got away with it. This is pretty impressive. No one stopped me. I could just do whatever. Well, what else I can do? And then it started doing goofy stuff. And again, nobody seems to stop him. There's lots of cries online, like you'd see in social media and Blue Sky and elsewhere, where it's the people saying, well, you know, this is against the law. It's against the law what he's doing. It's against international law. And it's like, does it matter?
Well, I think it's against, and like the question is, and what now? And so what do we do about this, right? I mean, the fact that seemingly he is just deciding one night that this is what's going to happen, not involving the various layers of government that are put in place to oversee these types of decisions, and then minimizing it, right? It's like, wasn't an act of war. An act of war. We just, you know, docked and went in and grabbed people and then got back on the boat. Like, it's insanity to me that you have all these multiple layers of government and other countries, and nobody's doing anything about this.
I think that's one of the things that was most annoying to me about the Venezuelan situation with the U.S. going in and saying they're going to take over. You know, and aside from the fact that Trump said, you know, we're going to run Venezuela. It's like, it's such, I mean, it's...
For now. It's like, just it's for like now.
The, yeah. It's the worst mafia movie you've ever seen in your life. And what really bothered me is that I felt that no world leader seemed brave enough to stand up directly and say, President Trump, this is wrong. This is not on.
Right.
You don't have to be grandiose about it. You don't have to grandstand. You don't have to sensationalize it.
No.
You can just literally say, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. But nobody seemed to have the ability to do that. Even like it with Prime Minister Carney, I think I have an appreciation for where his head is at, as far as he doesn't want to unnecessarily rock a very rocky boat any further, any more rocky than it's been rocked.
Right. Poke the bear.
But I worry that there's still an element of, but you know, he's going to be okay. He's going to turn around. He's not going to be all bad.
Well, he got on a plane to China because he knows that Trump won't find him there.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we're in a really bad situation just because we are connected to them, right? And so I understand not being the loudest at the table in this situation. But the fact that really it didn't, nobody. Like, it was like, well, we're not mad. We're just disappointed kind of thing, right? Like, it's like, no, we should be mad. Everybody should be mad.
Yeah. Did you feel good about Carney's statement?
It was a statement. Like, it was a statement. I mean, he had to put something out. I think a lot of us who aren't in positions of authority to make decisions and, you know, again, have to be responsible for, you know, actions. We just get to sit here and give our opinions on things, which is a lovely place to be, by the way.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a little bit more oomph, right? And same with Starmer and same with, like, everybody. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more oomph of we can't stand by this. Because I don't know if it's a situation where, because of everything that's happened, they don't want to say things because they're like, oh, shit, maybe if we don't say anything, he won't remember us. The thing will just here in the corner. But I don't know. I don't know. Are we the biggest? Because, I mean, it's not coming from Russia. Are we the biggest nation that would have had to say something? Right? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think in light of the fact that we're on the chopping block, we're on deck, I think that's a pretty good reason to speak up. But I mean, I do understand that Carney's in a difficult position and then he can't just come out and say, you're a dick. Because that's not going to solve anything and it's just going to cause more anguish and more pain in very real terms, like economic pain initially for sure. But I mean, at the same time, we've talked about this previously. I really do feel like a lot of what Trump is doing and the Trump administration is doing is bluster. Now there's consequences for bluster, and very tragic consequences for bluster. We saw just recently with the shooting of the protester in Minnesota, Nicole Good.
Sorry, I'm gonna correct you. The murder of
Absolutely.
I'm going to get sweary at that point.
No, that's fine. That's worthy.
I'm just warning everybody.
That's good. But I think that a lot of what they've been doing is based on bluster and no one is questioning it. Everyone's like, it's like someone puffing their chest out, pushing people around, looking like there's no way they're going to back down. And there's nothing to back it up. There's nothing to back it up. I'll tell you an anecdote, story that's inside that Shannon said that I'm terrible at analogies and these types of things and allegories, but
so you're going to do what?
I'm going to do one because Shannon's not here right now. Back when I was a teenager, my good friend and his sister were at a house party and we were about 16 years old and, they are people of color, Jamaican family. And there was this absolute dork who's still a dork who made some racist comments towards my friend's sister. And she's also my friend. It's easier for the story this way. And was saying some terrible things, like N-word, the whole bit, like just not good. So my friend said, let's go outside. We're going to fight. You can't just do this. You can't do this. So they go outside to fight. Now, to the credit of the dickhead, he was a muscular, sizable young man in that it could have gotten like a very messy fight. This is an example of bluster for good. And my friend is tall, quite skinny, and can handle himself for sure. But not, upon first inspection, not an amazing match for this fight, not necessarily a fair fight. They stood in the driveway and my friend slowly and calmly took off his shoes, which weren't running shoes. They were like fancy, nice shoes because we were well-dressed back in the day.
Party shoes.
Party shoes. That makes it sound like there was favors and stuff. His looking good shoes that went with his linen suit, probably. That's how good we looked back in the day. He took off his shoes, handed them to another friend and said, hold these. I don't want to mess them up. And just stood there like he was ready to go and not stop. And the dickhead said, I'm out. I can't. I'm not good. So bluster for good. But I sort of feel like in the same way, I feel like there's this notion that we think, oh, that they can't be stopped. And as soon as you think someone can't be stopped, you stop trying to stop them because you think I'm just going to suffer the consequences otherwise. And I'm not sure when that ends or how it ends, but it just certainly seems, you know, I think calling out the idea of like, well, it's against the law. I'm not sure that's going to be enough.
I don't think he cares about against the law.
No.
I think part of the problem is that because Trump is blustery, because the whole administration is just puff chest white men and one little brown, we're used to hearing the kinds of things that they say. You know the little one. Okay.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
So we're used to hearing them just talk smack, and then nothing happens. And then like the tariff thing, and you know, it's moving forward. Oh no, it's stepping back. And so I think because of all of that, people stop paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, I think it's not like the boy who cried wolf, because he cries all the damn time. But it's one of those things where like, you start to ignore it because it's just one more thing. It's just one more thing. But the things are getting bigger. I don't even want to say that because I don't want to diminish the things that are happening within their borders.
But, sure.
But again, now you're taking it outside the house and you are now, you know, imposing things. Well, it was in his manifesto, right? He wants control of everything. He told us he was going to do this. And he wants controls of waterways. Now we're back to Greenland. Like, it's just, it's all this stuff. And I just don't know when the time comes where the rest of the world goes, we've all had enough. Like, we all need to get together and figure out our differences, because we should all have a common concern with what's happening with him and his administration.
Yeah, totally agreed. You're right. And what's going to be interesting is at what point, like, what is going to be the thing that makes the rest of the globe go, no, we're done. We're done with this.
Well, have we not seen this in history before?
Well, are you referring to World War II?
When things happened and, you know, people were like, no, don't, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually.
I keep thinking of the Norm Macdonald bit of the, and who did Germany decide to go to war with? Go to war with? The world. You think, well, that'd be over in a couple of seconds. No problems.
We got
a shot. No, it's close.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the tipping point is for the rest of the planet. Now, just to bring us back just briefly before we move on to our next little segment is the idea of rule of law. So just recently, the United States Senate voted 52-47 to advance a motion limiting Donald Trump from taking further military action in Venezuela without explicit congressional approval. Because the argument, of course, was that he shouldn't have been doing anything in Venezuela without Congress's approval. And I really wish I didn't know anything about American politics, but I know far too much more than I want to.
Oopsie.
But yeah, the idea being that the critics were saying, you know, you should get congressional approval. The supporters were saying he doesn't need it. He was doing it in the interest and the safety of Americans, and that's why he didn't need approval. So then they say, well, it's against the law. So then they get the Senate to vote against it, any further military action. And that's, you know, wonderful and all that kind of stuff. Five Republicans joined the Democrats in those numbers. Rand Paul, no surprises there. Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, she's the one who famously said, I think he's learned his lesson now.
Boys will be boys.
Todd Young and Josh Hawley. They're invoking the War Powers Act to block further military action without congressional authorization. The downside is, of course, that, I think if I read correctly, Trump can still just veto it.
Well, like, he didn't go through Congress. He was supposed to go through Congress before and didn't do it. So
didn't do it.
You're just saying it louder now with an exclamation point, and you think he's going to follow that? My question is, because I'm guessing there are oaths that are taken, right?
You think.
Who gets to say no to him? Like, the general didn't say no, right?
Technically, it's Congress and the Constitution can keep him. They're like the three points of power in the U.S. are supposed to be the Congress and the Constitution.
He doesn't listen to the Constitution.
No.
Come on, man. I need a human to be the one to tell him no. Slap his hand, slap the phone out of his hand, give him his pudding, and send him to bed. Like, you cannot convince me otherwise that these ideas that he has doesn't happen at 3 a.m, right? When he would be blooping on the Truth Social.
Yeah.
That he's just come up with this, like, today is the day. Venezuela it is.
Yeah, and I think it's also whoever had the last word in his ear as well. I mean, we've seen that with him as before, whether he hates Zelensky and then talks to Zelensky, and Zelensky's great, and hates Putin and talks to Putin. Putin's great. He's just a bit of a dork. And I can only think that we've kind of, you know, surmised about this before, but I can't understand what the power is. I do think there's a lot of bluster. I think there's a tremendous amount of bluster, and I think someone needs to call him on his bluster, who has the ability to keep themselves literally safe afterwards. I think there's a lot of people who are afraid, not just Republicans who are afraid of losing their jobs, losing their paychecks. I think they're afraid of losing safety. Like, I think there's a real mafia-esque type vibe to this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is no rule of law. It brings us right back. There's no rule of law.
So the question next is the U.S. becoming a rogue state? Do we, like, one of the things I felt with in his second term when it started so auspiciously, and it was like, I remember back a year ago, almost a year ago now, after it was the inauguration, and I was then thinking to myself, wow, it's only been 2 weeks. It's only been a month. It's only been 2 months. So much nonsense and garbage has been happening because of him, and so much stress and chaos has been happening because of him. I remember thinking the only thing that kept me going was the idea of, like, well, this is just going to turn the USA into a pariah state. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, who would want to do business with them? Because you can't. And I also really want us to be really careful about generalizing Americans. There's lots of Americans who support Trump, of course, and his administration and all the terrible things he's doing. Those people are dicks. But there's lots of other Americans who are vehemently opposed to what he's doing and are the good Americans that we remember from our previous happy times at Disney World.
Well, I think we have to differentiate between the government and Americans, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. I think that's really important to do, because I honestly think there's a concerted effort to make Americans think that Canadians hate Americans. You see it on social, you see it certainly on X, on Twitter, where there's claims that there's bots that are being used to sow anti-American, anti-Canadian sentiment amongst regular citizens. And I think for any Americans listening, it's just not there. It's just, I mean, you have some people who kind of, like, there are some people who use this as a big fight. I like Charlie Angus, but I do feel he just kind of sweeps a bit broad sometimes. And I feel like it's unfair, and it's kind of playing into the hands of the bad guys when you just make regular folk hate each other, you know?
Well, and I think that's it's part of the propaganda machine, right? Because if you make people feel like nobody cares about you, nobody likes you, nobody agrees with you, then you almost have to turn back inward to the regime, right? So if you have, like, common sense Americans, there are a lot of them, right?
Sure.
And they're seeing this, you know, Canada hates you, like, it's all your fault, you know, all this kind of stuff. Then there's an automatic disconnect. That's what they want. They want the American citizens to be disconnected from anybody else. It's an abusive partner. They don't want you to have friends. They don't want you to see family. You stay in the house and you do what you need to do, and you never leave the abuser. That's exactly what's happening with the government right now in the U.S.
I'm always hesitant to use that example, but I think you're right.
I can, yeah.
Yeah. I think I've thought that many times over, thinking this is just an abusive relationship. This is, like, it's got all the tenets of it. It's got all the hallmarks of it. And it's horrendous to watch. Because as we both said there, that there are a number of Americans who are lovely, smart, you know, good people. And that's an obvious, I think. Just anyone who's had an experience with Americans broadly realizes that. But they must be incredibly frustrated, because they've been operating under the rule of law for a long time. And that notion that, well, like, it's still happening now. Well, all we have to do is get to the midterms.
Right.
All we have to do is get to the election in 2028. That's all we have to do, and then we'll vote. Everything will go back to normal. It's like, I don't think it's going to be that easy.
is there going to be an election? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, you know, people comment on Trump's medical issues and stuff like that. I feel he's going to be a weekend at Bernie's. I feel they're just going to strap him on someone's back and walk him around the beach and pretend like he's still in charge.
Yeah.
Because there's something else driving all of this. It's not just him. There's other things at play here. And that's why I always say it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, the U.S., whether it's Alberta, whether it's DOFO. They're just the bobblehead for like the bigger picture. Right. And I maybe people thinking, OK, we just have to get to this point. And we just have to get to that. It's the only hope they are still holding on to. Because nothing is changing. Nothing is being done. Now, in recent events, things that have happened in the U.S., there are a lot of people standing up, including various levels of government. And so maybe people will get a renewed sense of hope that, you know, people are saying no. Not that it does anything, but people are saying no.
Well, that's exactly that. Bring that point up. About, you know, recent events, and it was Renee Good. I got the name. I said her second name first, Nicole. But it's Renee Nicole Macklin Good, a 37-year-old U.S. citizen and mother of three. She was fatally shot, killed by an ICE agent during a large-scale immigration enforcement operation in Minneapolis.
Murder.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone who's watched, so this is what's part of the conversation, which is so distressing, is that there was so much video coverage of that shooting. And
No, there wasn't.
I know. It's craziness. I mean, I don't think anybody who doesn't feel they can handle watching footage like that should watch it. It's not graphic.
No, but you know what's happening.
You know what's happening. You absolutely know what's happening. And it's distressing. Mm-hmm. And there's been compilations made of multiple camera angles of this. And it's evident that the ICE agent was, in from all accounts in every video, was under no peril whatsoever.
Right.
He could have stepped out of the way.
Yep.
And instead shot through the windshield and ended up killing this woman who was trying to get out of there. Mm-hmm. She was leaving. She wasn't looking to cause more problems. She was just leaving, from what it seems in every video I've seen. And then you've got the government saying, no, this, you know, this ICE agent needs to be celebrated. And listen, don't worry about it, ICE agents. You're actually above, you've got federal immunity. And it's like, that was J.D. Vance saying that. That was Stephen Miller saying that. It is mind-boggling to me that there is no thought to consequence of saying stuff like that.
This is where I get sweary. So if the children are in the room, you should probably escort them to go play with some slime or something.
A lot of people, a lot of families will gather around. Oh, Lisa's going to be talking on the podcast. I bet you won't. It'll be family friendly, I bet.
I just didn't want any complaint. So watching J.D. Vance talk about this situation as if it was an absolute, having Kristi Noem talk about it as if it was an absolute, having the blob refer to this murdered woman as, you know, a domestic terrorist.
And a paid agitator.
And a paid agitator, because that's their buzzword now. Yeah, paid agitators. The awe-fucking-dacity is what I'm going to say. You put in place, like, ICE is not new. ICE is not new, okay?
No.
But this new iteration of ICE, where you just have some yahoos that didn't have jobs, and now, you know, they're like, they'll go through 30 days of training, and now you've given them weapons and authority and immunity, clearly, to do whatever the fuck that they want to do. And Kristi Noem having the audacity, yes, whenever it was, to say that this ICE agent was doing what he was trained to do. What the fuck is that? Murder innocent people? Not learn how to de-escalate a situation? Like, that is what your government, America, if you're listening, and Canada, take note, this is what your government thinks of people. That, I mean, it used to be, and I'm not trying to minimize this, so please take it with a grain of salt. I think everybody was kind of, okay, it's happening to brown people. Okay. But everyone is fair game now.
Yeah, and I think I understand what you're saying. That's not to say that it was okay before. Obviously, it was not okay.
No.
But I think for a lot of people, it's going to be like, oh my God, it's not just, it might affect me now.
Well,
this
and that's
terrible.
The thing. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, watching the news for the last few days or whatever, we everybody has an opinion on things, right?
Sure.
So you get commentators
can you
saying
imagine?
Things, right? Imagine the audacity of them to just give opinions on things they know nothing about. But they're basically saying, you know, oh, no, we need to wait. We can't make judgment until the investigation's done. Well, they've pulled the investigation away from the state. Okay. And now they're giving it to the FBI. Federal, whatever, because of the different levels of whatever it is. Anyhow. But in today's day, when you have people recording things, we're seeing what are we all missing? That this ICE agent was in distress and was at risk of and needed to defend themselves, right?
Yeah, nothing that I saw.
Right? The blob even called there's one video of many, but there's one video where an observer who's recording audibly yells out, right?
Yeah.
And Trump even said, that's an agitator. Like,
yeah.
You don't get to blanket it with like, and if everybody becomes the agitator that doesn't agree with what's happening with the government, we've solidified fascism. We've solidified dictatorships. We've solidified the power of the government over everyday people who put them in power. That is dangerous shit. That is dangerous territory.
It is. And what boggles my mind is that for a lot of these situations, like saying these agents have federal immunity, for example. When you say one person, the law doesn't apply to one person.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody starts to think and realize eventually, well, it doesn't apply to me then either. Why should it? Even at right or wrong, even if there are consequences that prove otherwise. Because I think for some people, you're going to do something. If you're a good guy and you do something wrong, you'll probably pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just currently, if you're a bad guy and do something wrong, you probably won't pay the price for it, which is distressing. But it's so short-sighted to me for these people to say that. To be in government and to say to the people of your constituents, your citizens, these people have total immunity. They can do whatever they want. First of all, red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Super big red flag. Especially in America, where the idea is that no one's above the law, which I mean is the same in Canada. But certainly for America, their whole tenet of their Captain America-ness has been, you know, that everyone abides by the Constitution because no man is greater than another, that idea. And that's held them together and done really well for them for a long time. They've kind of been, I mean, I know they've done that, they've done sketchy, terrible things, obviously, throughout history. But on the whole, I keep thinking, you know, if I was in a situation where I had to protect myself, protect my life, like a war zone or something,
mm-hmm.
and I saw an American battalion and I saw a French battalion, for example,
mm-hmm.
I would choose the French battalion.
Mm-hmm.
I would go anywhere near the American battalion. I'd think, I don't know whose side these guys are on.
Their own side.
You know?
The thing, I get it. You know, when you say that, you know, one group's above the law, then, you know, everyone sort of enters people into the demise of a society. But for right now, we've seen it. We've seen it ever since, you know, ICE became the thing that it is now. Social media posts of, you know, people being ripped out of their vehicles, families being mm-hmm. slit apart. Like, it's horrific and traumatic. Don't even like talk about Alligator Alley and all the other stuff that's happening, right? With this whole ICE project. But having now ICE agents who already thought that they were above the law, right? Doing things mm-hmm. that, you know, it seems like that there is no rule book, right? Like you get to do whatever you want. Now being told blatantly on every news channel and by the ICE Queen that you have immunity. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and we have your back. Terrifying. terrifying.
Totally, totally terrifying. And Ice Queen, you're referring to Christy Gnome, of course. Yes. And
Christy, I'm running my dog Gnome.
Yeah. I think I said before, but coming back in the airport in Atlanta in November, waiting in security, and there was about 8 TV screens, and they were all playing a loop of this message from Christy Gnome. And just heard like the presidential seal behind her or the U.S. seal behind her and blue screen type of thing. And then she's just doing her message over and over again. She doesn't look great. Doesn't, I mean, like, she doesn't look nice in any way. You know, like, what a nice person. She's concerned about our safety. I think she's here to mess people up if they don't play the way that she wants them to play.
Oh, 100%.
And it was like if you've gone to Disney World and gone on the Soarin' ride, there's a you wait to go on the ride, and that's twice I've mentioned Disney World in this episode.
Oh, not sponsored.
Open for sponsorships. which I'm sure they'd be great. They'd love that for us right now, aren't they? But the Soarin' ride, you wait to get on the ride, and there's this screens that you watch as you're waiting to get on. And the Soarin' one has Patrick Warburton, and he's talking about safety procedures and what you're going to see, what you're going to experience. And it's great. And you're like, this is cool. Surely, I thought, when I stood there in line in security at Atlanta Airport, I thought to myself, surely this must drive Americans insane. They must look up and go, put Patrick Warburton on here. This is crazy. Like, what?
Or are they desensitized?
Well, maybe.
Because, well, again, hold on. We've seen this, again, in history, where there were, you know, flags made of various leaders in the street. Like, it's repeating itself, right? If you keep repeating the messaging to the people, they either become desensitized and just ignore everything else, or it actually seeps in.
Well, here's a question for you then. Do you think that, this is something I thought of just recently, the America is built on and around the individual.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said before, being explained to me before, that America, by an American, that America is a game of baseball. It's all down to one person at bat in each individual. They're playing for the team as such, the economy, the market, the whatever, but it's all down to one person at bat at a time. So all that, it's the person at bat can't pass it to someone. There's just none of that stuff. It's all down to the individual. So for a country that's built on and around individualism, is that the Achilles heel of this whole country, of the USA, is the fact that everyone's an individual? So I think people haven't cared about what's happening because they can't, because they're treading water, or it hasn't affected them yet, so why bother? Or they stand to benefit, so who's going to complain? Because it's about them. It's not about the country. They don't care. I would even audaciously suggest that the America, average American, doesn't really care about America. They care about themselves. That's it. And I don't mean that in a terrible, selfish way. I mean that they've been taught and they live in a system that has made them realize everything's down to you. You have to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and your life is your responsibility. That comes with great opportunity, and any hardships, it's also your problem, your fault.
Your fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the promise of what America is based on, right? Everybody grows up with that promise of you too can be this and do that and get this. And if you don't, somehow you failed.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas, you know, in Canada, we're more community based, right? I think you're right. I think it's a combination of all three. It either hasn't impacted them, they don't know about what's going on because they're too busy trying to, you know, buy bread and all this other stuff. Or they're benefiting. And that, again, is the propaganda machine of, if you keep people treading water, then they never have time to really look around at what's going on. And then you can do all this shady stuff behind them. You don't get to see the shark coming at you because you're trying not to drown.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a case of, you know, you've the Trump administration seems to be the first blatantly opportunistic administration who's realized, in a country full of individuals, one person just needs to stand up and say they're king.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone goes, oh, shit, maybe they are, I guess.
I always wonder when, you know, anything's happening, really, but to what end? Like, to what end are we doing this? Is it world domination? And then what?
And then what?
And then
exactly.
what?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Because as we've learned, as we see, as historically we know, eventually people who all stand together, well, we saw it with Trump and Dodo Head that I don't want to name. You can be best buddies and, you know, love each other and pat each other on the back, but something will happen. And then now you're enemies, right? Elon's off on his own, not, yeah. you know, part of the, not getting to bring his kid into the Oval Office anymore.
This kid is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God. Right. But eventually people will turn on each other because it's either a power thing or it's a, you're not agreeing with what I want to do thing.
Yeah.
So to what end are we doing this?
Yeah.
If we know inevitably that things like people are going to start infighting, right? Let's just try and get in there now. Right. Like let's.
So you're suggesting we should sow the seeds of a chaos. Essentially.
Like, you know, J.D. Vance is just waiting for Trump to die.
Yeah.
He knows it'll be his time. Right.
Yeah.
I'd check your burgers, Donald, see if he's putting anything in them. Like, it's that kind of stuff, right? Because, like, really, there are no morals. There are no values. It's just, it's the me, me, me. And we are seeing that under the guise of America.
Yeah.
And it's not America. It's power.
It's power.
And
You're
hate.
Right.
That's really, yeah. Sorry. I wasn't nearly as sweary as I thought I was going to be in that little.
No, you've held yourself together really well. Your commitment to decorum has been phenomenal.
I do it for the children.
It's out of step with the rest of the world currently. Moving on to our next little question. So what's the worst case versus best case? And what does without the U.S. actually mean for Canada, for example? So, I mean, we're seeing a little bit of it currently with weaponized trade. Security guarantees are being weakened. And as I've noted here, international law replaced by vibes and executive memos. I mean... What's our worst case scenario for the U.S.? Like, as you said, like, to what end? What's the worst case scenario? Let's get the worst out of the way, then we'll do the best case scenario.
I mean, the worst is we're heading into war.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun when the draft comes in.
Yeah.
because it's either going to be that he does something so egregious, which I don't know. Never say, right?
Yeah.
How much worse can it get? That it triggers something, or he pisses off the wrong person, which, you know, there are some world leaders that he could piss off that would start a war. That in my mind, like, do I think he's going to be able to invade Canada? I never want to say never, but that would be through war, I think, right? And that's where it's in my mind. It's going to be heading at some point, unless something's done.
Well, my worst case scenario is probably pretty similar. I think the situation would be that there's this whole bastardized version of the Monroe Doctrine that he has dubbed the Don Roe Doctrine. Come on, man. He's
no,
so good
document.
At doing name.
He didn't even call it the doctrine. He called it a document because he was...
Come on. I mean, like I said, he used to be so good at names. It's a sign he's slipping.
Are you surprised? Did you hear him when he was reading?
Oh,
oh my God. Put him out of his misery.
It is horrendous. It's almost like someone should talk to the family. You got to stop doing this, Tim. You got to just take him somewhere and tell him he's giving a speech at the lunch, in the lunchroom at the old age home.
Need a DNR.
Yeah. And, so I think it's much the same in the worst case scenario is that you see this idea that the U.S. wants to control the Western Hemisphere, which is nonsense, first of all. I think the Monroe Doctrine was in the 1800s and essentially said, hey, Europe, don't mess in the Americas. Don't mess in Latin America and all that kind of South America and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is kind of our turf. Get out of here. Don't colonialize it anymore. It's ours. We'll do that. And in turn, the U.S. said in the Monroe document that doctrine, they're not going to involve themselves in European affairs. Mm-hmm. In the 1800s, that was a way easier thing to do, to say, yeah, if it happens in France, I'll never know about it.
Right?
It's fine.
By the time that bottle comes across the ocean,
yeah,
it'll be long done.
No effect on me whatsoever. It's so foolhardy to suggest that that's this idea of protecting the Western Hemisphere has any validity in modern day life. I think it's just we live in a planet. We live in a big sphere, and the lines are kind of arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're there for good reasons in some of the places, but largely they're arbitrary. So yeah, I see that being worst case scenarios that the U.S. I say Trump and his cronies somehow decide to make Canada a vassal state by doing an invasion. And I think it'd be a terrible, terrible thing for lots of reasons, but I think it'd be a terrible thing for Americans as well. And lots of people have covered why that would be a terrible thing without going into detail, but why it would be a terrible thing. As someone mentioned, as Darcy Michael mentioned, go read on the Geneva Convention and find out what the deal is. We're not always that nice.
Right.
So yeah, that's the worst case. The best case scenario, and I truly feel this is more likely to happen. My best case scenario for the U.S. situation right now is that the wheels come off for the exact reason that you suggested, that there's no honor among thieves. Everybody's reaching for the crown. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants the spoils, and they'll stab each other in the back to get it entirely. So I think the wheels are going to fall off before any massive, major, major damage. And that's easy to say. And that's obviously, you know, there's been tremendous damage done. Like, for example, the woman in Minnesota was killed.
Murdered.
Yeah. And but at the same time, I feel that I've noticed in the past few months that the wheels are getting pretty wobbly.
There's a frenzy, right? Like you feel the frenzy. And when there's frenzy, it always tells me that there's panic and that they're trying to grasp at things. My best case scenario is that everyday Americans who believe in, you know, getting up, going to work, making a living, looking after their family, looking after their neighbor, start to go, we're done. Like this, because I believe that there are far less traitors to the idea of the U.S. Just like as loud as they are in Canada, there are far less traitors to Canada than there are people who would stand up for it. My hope is that they get their voices together and say enough is enough, whatever that looks like, whatever multiple layers of government that has to go through.
I think there's a little combination thing happening, going to happen. There's going to be people rising up in their voices, and they're going to capitalize on those tiny cracks in the system that are happening currently and will continue to happen. Mm-hmm. Again, because no honor among thieves. And I think that the rule of law itself is not going to be enough, because it's been evident that they are just happy to disregard it. And then not only disregard it, nobody cares because nobody knows what to do. After that, everyone who's playing the game and playing by the rules of the game thinks, well, what's the point? We can't change anything. But I feel that enough voices will work together with the cracks in the system, and that'll help hopefully reset things.
You know, when the U.S. became the U.S. and there's a constitution and it's just this piece of paper that says, hey, this is what we agree to do. This is what we're about. And it seemed to mean something. I don't know that it means anything anymore, right? And so it doesn't matter if the Senate or Congress says, no, you need to do this and do that. If it's just on paper, it means nothing.
It means nothing. Yeah. Yeah. We live in hope. Let's finish off with the last question here, which is, so what can Canada actually do about this whole thing? What do we do? Well, we're waiting for Americans, because I think numerous people have said online, and as we've said, the only way this stops is if Americans stop it. That's it. We can't stop it. As Canadians, we definitely can't stop it. But what do we do? So part of it is obviously, you know, divesting our trade deals, making personal choices that are supportive of Canadian economy as opposed to American businesses. All that kind of stuff. Is there anything else we can do?
I think we need to still be better at trying to think three steps ahead. And so the proactivity of things, I think, needs to be more in play than the reactivity. So we really need to recognize, you know, where we are deficient and work on that. Lessen our dependence on the U.S., not give them the authority over us based on trade, based on, you know, everything really. But we have to kind of start thinking like they do. And if I was an egomaniacal dictator, what would be my next step, right? We have his little manifesto. Read it. Figure out how we get ahead of that stuff. Because, again, when we go about the worst case scenario, if he goes after Greenland and then Denmark gets involved, that means the EU gets involved. That means the Commonwealth gets involved. Like, that's what I'm worried about, right? Yeah. And at that point, I think in reading a history book, someone would go, well, why wasn't all this kind of stuff done before it got to this point?
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing we do with 1930s Germany. Why didn't all this happen before it got to the point that it got to? And so I think people really need to go back to their social studies courses and go, okay, we have seen this before. How do we prevent this from happening before we have to react to it? And that's not good for anybody. It's not good for the U.S. It's not good for the rest of the world. I'm just tired. I don't have time for it. So if we could make it better, that would be great for me. Thank you.
I have seen a couple of posts online and I feel the same way. I just want to say a big go to hell to all the people that's made fun of me for raising the alarm bells, raising the red flags back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not good. Evan is a bad, bad judge of character, America. You could have done better than that. Well, let's finish off with a really quick game because that's what we did. You know what I mean? You love games.
Let's lighten it up a bit.
Let's lighten it up a little. The world's ending. Why not play a game?
We're all going to war. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. This is a wrong answers only game. I will give you questions, multiple choice answers. I'll say a sentence, rather. Let's start again. I will say a sentence. I will give you three choices to fill in the blank in the sentence. I want you to choose the best wrong answer. I can tell you what the actual answer is, but you'll probably know what the answer is. Okay? We'll try the first one to see if you know how it goes. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, good. Here's the quote. These are all Donald Trump quotes, by the way.
Mm.
Okay. I was saved by God to make America blank again. Here comes your choices. A, a brand extension. B, emotionally unavailable. C, a loyalty program.
I'm going to go with A.
That's correct. Of course, the real answer is great. That was good. That was he was referring to his assassination attempt in 2024 campaign as proof of that he was saved by God to fulfill his political mission.
So long ago, yet feels like yesterday.
I know. Next one. I'm not a dictator. I just know how to stop blank. A, dissent. B, anyone asking why. C, the separation of powers.
I like B.
Yeah, I like the two. I'm going to give you a point for that.
There's
as well.
No wrong. You're probably going to get a perfect score.
They're all wrong answers. Correct answer, of course, was crime. And it was a quote following criticism over authoritarian behavior, including deploying 2,000 National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. Next one. The judge, like many of the crooked judges I am forced to appear before, should be blank. A, demoted to vibes-based justice. B, removed for insufficient obedience. C, replaced by true social.
Oh, I'm going to go with C.
Yep, that's the correct answer. The actual answer, of course, is impeached. He was publicly calling for Judge James Boasberg's impeachment, prompting a rare public rebuke from Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I like this one. Modi is a great man. He blanks Trump. A, tolerates him for his geopolitical reasons. B, is now trapped in this quote forever. C, wishes this sentence ended sooner.
I'm going to go B.
Yeah, I'll take that. It's good.
Yeah.
The correct answer, of course, the correct answer was your answer. The actual answer is loves. He was praising India's Prime Minister Modi and then immediately clarified that he didn't mean love in a way that could damage Modi politically. You know, like village people style love. He didn't mean that.
It's not boys kissing love. It's
Gift that.
Yeah, exactly.
Fans of the show. Canada should become our cherished blank state. A, snow-covered asset. B, extremely polite annex. C, healthcare-themed experiment.
I like A. We're going to go with A.
Yeah, I like it too. It makes it sound snow globe-y. I like it. Yeah. Of course, the actual answer is 51st state. Yeah. And he floated the idea on Truth Social, turning Canada into the 51st state, which went over like gangbusters in Canada. People loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Sixth question. Foreign leaders have stolen our blank. A, jobs and basic understanding of trade. B, manufacturing metaphors. C, sense of economic reality.
B.
Yeah, I'll take that. No. The actual answer, of course, is jobs. Using this claim to justify sweeping tariffs with countries like China and India, saving the U.S. economy, has been saying that the U.S. economy had been, quote, looted and plundered. You know, like Venezuela.
Oh, can someone get a big boat? D.C.'s on the water, right? Let's get a boat.
Yeah, right at the Potomac there?
Yeah, let's go.
Next one. These countries are calling us up. Blank my ass. A, asking for mercy. B, checking if this is still real. C, Googling 90-day tariff pause.
I'm going to go with B.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The actual answer, of course, is kissing. The remark followed global market turmoil caused by tariff announcements shortly before Trump declared a temporary halt.
Which time?
Yeah. Is it tacos for dinner tonight? They said global warming would kill the world. Then it started getting blank. A, inconvenient for denial. B, harder to explain without charts. Or C, renamed for marketing.
C.
Yeah. Yeah. Actual answer is cooler. Trump dismissed climate science by arguing the term climate change exists so scientists can't miss. Calling it a hoax. So scientists can't miss. Because scientists are all about, they don't care about the answer. They just want to get right.
Yeah.
They don't want to be proven correct all the time. That's it.
That's what science is all about.
Oh, yeah. It's about winning. This is one of my favorites. I never understood blank. A, because all these wrong answers could be actual answers. A, wind. B, experts. C, why facts keep showing up.
C.
That's correct. The actual answer is wind. Speaking to young conservatives in Florida, Trump claimed unmatched expertise in windmills, while also alleging they emit harmful fumes.
That's smelly wind.
Last one. Here we go. Vladimir Zelensky is a blank without elections. A, geopolitical inconvenience. B, man caught in a narrative shift. C, sentence someone would later deny saying.
C.
That's correct answer. The actual answer is dictator, funny enough.
Irony.
Trump referred to Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky as a dictator, then later asked reporters, did I say that? I'm imagining that line being said as the Urkel.
Right.
Did I say that? Well done. You scored perfect score. Yeah. See? It all ends up, even though the news is terrible in the world all going to hell, specifically America.
Yeah.
I don't want to generalize in the same way. It's not like, you know, it's like the World Series is actually a World Series, that type of thing. You know what I mean?
Can I get a Peace Prize award?
Yes, you can. Someone posted online a hilarious thing saying, I'm starting to seriously question the validity of the FIFA Peace Prize. Right.
I think they made a mistake.
Anyway, hey, listen, thanks so much for joining us here on Politics is Broken. You can, of course, find us in your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube where you're watching us right now, of course. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't tell you what to do.
We're not in your room.
No, exactly. But if you don't like and subscribe or follow us, then please do. If you can leave some comments, it'd be great in the Substack post or YouTube or anywhere, Instagram.
We're everywhere. My God.
We're everywhere. We're absolutely everywhere. If you're a paid subscriber, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us keep doing what we're doing. And take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Politics is Broken with Brittle Star and Lisa B. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and comment. And don't forget to check out BrittleStar.com for more.